You are listening to the Archaeology Podcast Network.
The APN is currently looking for network sponsors. Hear your company right here at the beginning of the show in over 60 episodes a month on 18 different shows and reach 70,000 subscribers. Contact the APN via Chris at archaeologypodcastnetwork.com. That's Chris at archaeologypodcastnetwork.com to sponsor the only archaeology education and outreach podcast network.
This is episode 173 for the 22nd of June, 2017.
I'm Chris Webster, and on today's episode, Chapter 10 from the Field Archaeologist Survival Guide, Getting a Job and Working in Cultural Resource Management. This chapter is Hotels. Okay, as I said, this is a chapter from my book, The Field Archaeologist Survival Guide, about hotels. And I'll tell you, like some of the other chapters in the book, this doesn't just apply to archaeologists. This applies to anybody who's planning on spending some quality time in some hotels, even for vacation. Just think about it. So, all right, here we go. The first hotel I ever stayed in for archaeology was on my second project. The developer had ties to the Marriott chain of hotels, so that's what we stayed in. The Courtyard Marriott that was across the street from the project area was full when I got there, so some of us were assigned to the JW Marriott down the street. That was one of the nicest hotels I've ever stayed in, despite the hurricane damage. A few months before we got to Miami, a hurricane had blown out many of the windows in most of the buildings in southern Florida. For some reason, the management at the JW Marriott was fixing the windows in the corner rooms last, so we got those rooms since we weren't paying for them. We still had some windows, just not all of them. The broken ones were boarded up. The rooms were still amazing, though. In the rooms were massive beds with fancy bedding and pillows, a comfortable chair, and a desk, and the room was a good size. Along the wall, opposite the bed, was a granite-top credenza with a 40-inch flat-screen TV mounted on the wall. It was near the spacious granite countertop. There was even a phone in the bathroom. Walking back from work, muddy and dressed in field clothes, was interesting. We had to walk through a marble-covered lobby into the golden elevators. I swear that every day the elevator attendant thought we were robbing the place. I felt bad being so dirty and covered in mud, but there wasn't much we could do about it. They moved us to a less fancy hotel a few weeks later. It was more our style. If you have to live in a hotel room, there are some things you can do to make your life easier and more satisfying. In my experience, one of the big reasons people don't stay in cultural resource management, or CRM, is because they are lonely, unhappy, and bored. Those are all things you can control. Let's talk about how to control those factors and increase your quality of life. Quality of life. We'll start off with a quote. I worked on a project in 2012 that lasted for 6 months. The motel that was provided us was my home for 10-day sessions, with only 4 days off in between. I brought my own bed linens from home each time I checked in. I also burned some incense to make it feel and smell more like home. If they were putting me up in a room I hadn't stayed in before, I would wipe down nearly every surface with a disinfecting wipe. I'm not too concerned about germs, but it made it feel cleaner and smell fresher in the room, which made it easier for me to relax. And that quote was from Jennifer McGuire. So how do you live in a hotel and not be absolutely miserable? The most basic way I can put this is to alter the room so it feels like home. Make it your home and think of it that way. When I'm out in the field, I say things like, when I get home, I'm going to read my book and have some wine. I'm not talking about my permanent home. I'm talking about my hotel room or my tent or whatever I'm sleeping in that night. If you are constantly pining for the home that you left or that you don't even have yet, then you're not going to be happy with your current living situation, and that attitude will reflect upon your work and your coworkers. No one wants to hear someone complain all day about how much they think their life sucks. In my experience, there are two factors that cause someone to live a squalid life in a hotel room. The reasons include trying to save money and a lack of knowledge regarding efficiently and happily living in a hotel room. And here's another quote. If you're forced to double bunk, which almost universally sucks, do unto others. Try to get to know their personality so you don't make them mad. Be respectful, even if you don't like your roommate. And that's from Bill White. Saving money. I know that across much of the country, archaeologists are underpaid and underappreciated. In some places, such as the Great Basin, pay and per diem are much higher than the national average. An entry-level field technician could conceivably take home $36,000 to $46,000 in an 8-month field season when salary and per diem are counted together. And that's calculated at $13 per hour, 40 hours per week, and $125 per diem for 8 months. That's not too bad. Personal situations aside, there should be enough money available to live comfortably and happily. It's all about personal choices and deciding what's important to you. And here's another quote. Check for bed bugs. Learn to recognize the signs of a bed bug infestation and what bed bugs look like. I was in a room for a few days before I realized the itchy bumps on my arms were not mosquito bites. Gross! I caught it in a tissue and brought it to the front desk. They moved my room and gave me $10 in quarters to wash all my gear at the laundromat. Not fun. And that was another one from Jennifer McGuire. Make the room your own. Before I ever bring any of my gear into a hotel room, I first clear out all the hotel stuff that I don't need. You know what I'm talking about. I move the binders of information, the coffee maker, the little plastic signs, and anything else I'm not going to use. There's usually space on top of the TV cabinet or on the shelf in the closet for those things. I also put the phone on the floor and unplug and move the alarm clock. You'll likely never use the phone, but don't unplug it just in case the hotel staff or your crew chief, when you don't wake up, needs to call. I haven't used the alarm clock since I got a smartphone. Unplugging it and storing it away frees up one of the few power outlets in the room. I always bring at least one power strip. There'll never be a time when you don't need it if you don't have one. Trust me. New power strips often have a couple USB ports, which can be handy for charging phones, cameras, tablets, and many other USB powered devices. And here's another quote. I found that I needed a makeshift mudroom. Mine was always just inside of the door when you walk into the room. And that was from Jamie Palmer. Next, I remove the comforter off the bed. Aside from being germ-ridden, I usually don't need it since I'm a hot sleeper. If you fold the comforter up and stuff it into some out-of-the-way corner of the room, then the maid staff is unlikely to put it back on when they clean the room. If they continue to put it back on regardless of where you put it, then notify the front desk and they'll take care of it. Whatever you do, don't throw the comforter on the floor at the foot of the bed. This goes back to living in a small space and quality of life. Also, if your room is clean and organized, the hotel staff is more likely to leave you alone. And here's another quote. Wet boots? Stick newspapers in them and put them on the heater in your hotel room. They should be dry by morning. Watch out for the smell. Bill White. Finally, in some hotel rooms where space is a premium, you might need to do some rearranging. If there are two beds and you don't need the other one, you can dismantle it and lean the mattresses up against the wall. This frees up room for gear, a workout, or a crazy dance party. Do what makes you happy. Just be sure that if you move anything, put it back the way you found it before you leave. There's a really good chance that you'll stay at the hotel again sometime, and you don't want to burn any bridges. Also, if you trash the room and your company is paying for it, they may not ask you back for another session. Use your phone or camera to take pictures of the room before you do any major rearranging. If you forget, you can always look in someone else's room. And this quote is from Russell Aline Willems. Double the size of your hotel room. If you're lucky enough to have a single occupancy room on your project, a surprisingly rare luxury these days, but are still booked in a room with two beds, you can almost double your living space by flipping the second mattress and box springs up on their sides and placing them against the wall. Often the bed frame is simply four pieces of particle board slotted together. Carefully take the frame apart, particle board can break fairly easily, and you now have much more space in your hotel room for things like exercising, rearranging other hotel furniture, or setting up your illicit hot plate and electric grill. Just remember to put things back before you check out. And remember, if you break it, you buy it. And again, that was from Russell Aline Willems. Organization. Organization is the key to a happy life in a hotel room. They're just too small and cramped to have all your stuff laying around. I always sort my clothing into the dresser drawers and hang up what I can. These are small things you can do to make it feel like home, albeit temporarily. Anything that doesn't need to be in the room, such as an empty suitcase, can go back in your vehicle. Before I get distracted with work and hanging out with the crew on the first day of the session, I make sure to put everything in its place, and I put away all my bins and things. If you leave it for later, it likely won't get done. Food. There are three ways to handle food in the field. The easiest way is to eat out at restaurants and fast food places. This isn't the healthiest or cheapest option, but if you do it right, you can have leftovers every other day and not have to eat out every night. The way that requires the most preparation is to cook up a bunch of food before you leave and heat it up when you want using your room's microwave. A vacuum food saver is handy for this task. The food saver bags can be microwaved or boiled to heat the food inside. Finally, you can bring cooking equipment and cook everything you need right in your hotel room. Plan out how you're going to handle your food situation a few days before you go into the field. Grocery shopping in your hometown might provide better options than the small town you might be staying in for the session. The next chapter goes into cooking extensively, so skip ahead if you're sitting in a hotel room right now and are hungry. And here's a quote. I know a lot of serum archaeologists rely on the free continental breakfast as a per diem preserver when it's available, but sometimes the choices can be pretty sparse, especially in terms of healthy foods. Here's what I like to do. Take a packet of instant oatmeal, put it in your hot water, then mix in one of those small containers of peanut butter, pair it with a banana, apple, or orange, and you've got a great breakfast. And that's from Andy Sewell. Cooking in a hotel room is a subtle art, and it requires patience. Before you bring a bunch of gear out, however, check to see if your room has a stove or oven. Some do. Also, ask the hotel if they have an outdoor grill for guests to use. They aren't just for meat and vegetables, and you can easily boil water in a pan on the surface. Don't forget about cooking in a microwave. Using the right combination of time and temperature, you can cook pasta, meat, eggs, hot cereal, and a variety of other items. The key is usually lower temperature and longer time. Times and temperature will also vary with power capabilities of microwaves. And here's a quote. As a coffee snob, I never shovel bone without grinding enough coffee for the foreseeable future. And with it, bring my pour-over coffee brewer and cone filters along with my electric hot pot to boil water. This cheap, small, and lightweight brewing system allows me to brew the coffee I like with purified water while on the road. To me, this makes the hotel, tent, or car feel a little more like home. And we all know that hotel coffee, especially the types of hotel shovel bums tend to stay in, is a few notches below even gas station coffee. And that's from Brandon McIntosh. Finishing touches. Anything you can do to make your room feel like home should be done. When you spend up to 10 days at a time in one room, it can get a little depressing. My wife and I once spent 3 months in the same room. On my second project, I spent 6 months in the same room with a roommate. Making your room your own and keeping it clean is a necessity. If you have them, put out some pictures of loved ones and family. Also, put out any trinkets or small items that remind you of home. Summary. Living in a hotel room can be fun and adventurous. Remove anything you don't need, such as the hotel signage, the phone book, and other items that you won't need. Organize the room to suit your needs. Keep your belongings organized and your room clean. Remember to put the room back the way you found it before you leave. Snap a few pictures on your phone to remember how to put everything back. Plan out how you're going to handle food a few days before you go into the field. You'll be happier in the long run. Your attitude toward living on the road is what you make of it. If you don't enjoy and embrace it, then you will be unhappy. You have to realize that if you stay a field CRM archaeologist, you are likely going to be in the field for quite some time before you land that desk job. When you do get there, you will likely miss going out into the field. Take this opportunity to see new things and meet new people. Every project can be an adventure. If you keep your blackout curtains closed and your TV on, your view of the world would be as myopic as the view out the peephole in your hotel room door. And that was Chapter 10, Hotels, from Field Archaeologist Survival Guide, Getting a Job and Working in Cultural Resource Management by myself, Chris Webster. Rutledge 2014. Pick up a copy on Amazon or on the Rutledge website. There's a link to the Amazon page on the show notes for this episode. Thanks for listening and look out for future chapters.
That's it for this episode of ARC 365. Please share this episode on your social media sites so others can have fun and learn about archaeology too. Please consider a donation to ARC 365 by sponsoring an episode for just $35. You can find the sponsor page at www.archaeologypodcastnetwork.com/sponsor-ARC-365. Thanks and have a great 2017 with the Archaeology Podcast Network. The song Storm Diggin' was written, performed, and recorded by Steve Webster. This show is produced by Chris Webster and Tristan Boyle and was edited by Chris Webster.
This has been a presentation of the Archaeology Podcast Network. Visit us on the web for show notes and other podcasts at www.archaeologypodcastnetwork.com. Contact us at chris@archaeologypodcastnetwork.com.